Hello and welcome to Conservation Connections. I'm Beth Summers, the host today, and I'm the executive director at Valley Stewardship Network. And here with me in the studio today, I have Dave Creer, also formerly a native plantings coordinator with Valley Stewardship Network and now retired. And Dave is going to be telling us about one of the projects he's been really involved in recent years, which is the chimney swift monitoring project here in Viroqua.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Yeah. We've been doing a lot of work on chimney swifts, and so I'm not sure if everybody knows what a chimney swift is, but they're a small bird. They winter down in the northern part of the Amazon, so Brazil and Venezuela, those areas. So they'll be down there in the winter. They come up here in the spring, probably in April sometime, and they go all the way up into southern Canada. And they'll breed up here and then head back down again in the fall. And they're a species that's in decline, a species of significant concern, I think, both here and in Canada. Their range for sure in Canada has been getting smaller and smaller. So now it's really just reaching up into Canada, and that's about it. But we have a lot of them around here still, which is great, and they're fun to watch. So my involvement, I mean, I've known about chimney swifts for a long time, but really started at the Historical Society here in town, Vernon County Historical Society. They had a chimney, and I used to be on the board there, and we had a chimney on the front of the building and definitely needed some repairs. And we knew that, or I knew that chimney swifts used that chimney, so I was a little concerned that one of the options might be to either cap the chimney or take it down entirely, you know, once it needs some repair. And so right about that time, I heard that the Wisconsin Chimney Swift Working Group, which is a part of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology, all volunteers, was putting on a program looking for chimneys in Wisconsin that needed to be repaired, and they would help defray some of the cost of that. So with the permission of the board, I applied for that, and we got some money. This is back in 2020. We repaired the chimney in the spring of 2021, and the caveat was part of the money from the Chimney Swift Working Group was from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in their partners program. They, you know, most of the time, Fish and Wildlife Service works out in farms and rural landscapes. This is one of the very few programs they have that was actually more of an urban project. So this was a pilot for them as well. So we got half, the Historical Society got half of the chimney repair paid for by that program. We had to come up with the other half, which we did with, you know, brought sales and donations and things. And in exchange, basically, we had to give them an easement to the chimney for 10 years. So for 10 years, we had to leave the chimney open and let chimney swifts use it, which, so how long has that been now? 4 years, 5 years coming up on. And the chimney swifts are still in there and doing great. So yeah, good. That was kind of how I started sort of my maybe more focused involvement with chimney swifts.
Yeah. Well, just for our listeners that may not be super acquainted with chimney swifts as a species, I'd love to just talk a little bit about their background and why we're worried about chimneys.
Yeah.
So, you know, historically, before settlers would have arrived in North America and put chimneys up, they would have been using old, hollow, dead trees, which increasingly we don't have on the landscape anymore. So then they started using people's chimneys, and if I'm not mistaken, there was actually an increase in chimney swift population for a while there when there were a lot of chimneys available, and now we're going through a change where people don't have chimneys anymore, nor are there big standing dead trees, so suddenly there's this dearth of habitat for them, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a couple drivers to what's leading to the decline now, and that you're right. I mean, habitat, you know, where they can live and roost and have their nests declining for sure is a problem, because those old growth trees are not entirely gone, but a lot. We had a lot of chimneys for a while because of both houses and factories that they could use. And now many of those are coming down. I mean, if you had a chimney or have one and you get a new roof on your house, one of the first things they say is, well, let's take that chimney out, because everybody is putting in high efficiency furnaces that don't need the chimney anymore. And so it's just cheaper when you're putting a roof on to not have one more protrusion sticking through. It's one less spot that can leak. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons to do it, which I totally understand. But every one of those chimneys that comes out that is big enough for the chimney swifts to use is one less habitat for them.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing up in Canada. You know, Canada's a really big wood-producing country, and so a lot of their old growth, the big old trees, are gone up there as well. And same thing, factories and buildings with big chimneys that would be used for roosting are declining. They're coming down as well. So that's a good observation. There's really two different purposes for the chimneys that they use. The big chimneys, like the one in the Historical Society, and we have other ones around town, the big chimneys are used for roosts, and those can be around here. I would say several hundred birds would go in there, and those are not breeding birds. Those are birds that are just communally living together, and so they'll come up here for the summer, and for a variety of reasons, they'll cycle through in and out as a group. But they're a very sociable bird, and so they really do like to roost together. So really, they're just going in there to sleep, and because there's several hundreds of them, or there can be, they generate a lot of heat. So the inside of one of those chimneys where there's a bunch of birds in there can increase by 70 degrees, even in midsummer. They can be 70 degrees warmer in there than outside, which is unbelievable.
From their body heat alone.
Just from body heat.
But that's hundreds of birds potentially all clustered together in a single chimney.
Yeah. Very sometimes stacked on top of each other, especially in the shoulder seasons, spring and fall. They'll sometimes be two or three deep in there to generate heat. And then the other size chimney would be more of what you would be expected to see in your house. So I think we always say it needs to be like 2.5 bricks by 3 bricks or 2.5 by 2.5 bricks. Size-wise, so the birds can get in. Every once in a while, we'll find one smaller. But those are really for nesting chimneys, where a bird is going to go in there, or a family unit of 2 to 5 birds. They're going to go in there. They're going to build a single nest in each chimney. You won't go into a chimney and find 10 nests. It's always one. So they'll build that nest. They'll, you know, breed, have their eggs, raise the young. They really can use help when they're raising those young, because those young need a lot of food to grow. And so that's sometimes why you'll see more than 2 birds, because sometimes there's helpers, which could be birds from their previous year, or just, I don't say friends, but acquaintances that they trust. And so that 2 to 5 birds may or may not be related to each other, but they'll raise that year's brood of birds.
Oh, that's really an unusual thing for birds to have nest helpers, especially unrelated nest helpers.
Yeah, that cooperation.
Yeah.
I agree. It's unusual for birds.
They're really, in several ways, they're a really interesting species. They almost remind me of like more of a bat, the way that they roost in chimneys, and they come out right at dawn and dusk, and they're aerial insectivores, right? So they're catching insects right during those dawn and dusk periods. And people may not think to really notice them, but at dusk, if you're in town, you can see them kind of wheeling around the sky in big circles and making little twitters. And they have kind of that narrow, oblong sort of body and skinny little wings that flap really, really fast.
Really fast, yep. Very short tail on the backside. So they call them the flying cigar, because you don't really see a big tail. And they're very, I would call them monochromatic, very kind of gray. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have, you know, a lot of colors on them. They don't have white bottoms. I mean, they're very plain looking. And when they fly around, they often just fly around with their mouth open, kind of like nighthawks and whippoorwills, things like that. And they eat just a huge amount of insects. I want to say it's 12,000 when they're raising their young, and they have to go feed their young. I want to say it's 12,000 insects a day that they'll go out and catch, and they'll keep little boluses in their mouth. They'll eat some of the food, of course, but they get these little boluses, and they kind of pre-masticate the insects, and then they go back and give that to the young. And when they do that, they go back into the chimney. They'll feed the young. They'll be in there for a few minutes, and then they go right back out and fly. So another unusual thing is they're in the air, I would say, if they're not raising young and going back to feed, they're in the air from when they come out of the chimney at dawn until dusk when the sun is setting. They are in the air for whatever that is, 13, 14 hours a day. Yeah. They drink in the air, they breed in the air, they eat in the air. It's unbelievable. Even when they're getting the twigs that they use to build their nests, they will fly at a tree and hit the end of a branch, the very end, right, like 1 or 2 inches, and they snap it off as they fly by, and they go back and use that to make their nest. They don't, like, stop on the – they can't actually land on a tree just because of the way that they're built. I mean, they when they go in, they cling to the side of the bricks on the inside of the chimney. So it's great to watch in slow motion. And I want to say the Historical Society put up one of my videos of slow motion of the birds going in, because you'll see them circling the chimney pretty quickly, pretty fast. And at that, just the last, I don't know, second and a half, right at the top of the chimney, they pop their wings out almost like a parachute, and they kind of flutter down in almost horizontally, and they kind of fall slowly through the chimney, and then they grab on with their legs, and they always go face up. So they grab on with their legs, their tail comes down and kind of hits the brick, and then they sleep in there overnight face up on the inside of the chimney.
And what a cool phenomenon to see them all funneling by the hundreds into a single chimney. That must be a really neat aspect of doing this monitoring project, getting to watch that.
It is. And I will say, I recommend this for everybody here around in the area that could be listening to this, is to come to the Historical Society during the summer. It is a spectacular sight if you've never seen it, even if you have seen it before. And I'll when we get to the dates of how some of this stuff happens, but... just right before sunset, maybe 15 minutes before sunset, you can go to the parking lot on the west side of the building, kind of right across the street from Dairy Queen, and just look up at the chimney, and you will see likely hundreds of birds, and they circle and circle and circle for maybe 20 minutes, and I'm not sure what signal they're looking for, and then they start to go in, maybe by ones and twos, and then just after sunset, maybe 10 or 15 minutes after sunset, suddenly they just 150 of them will go in 15 or 20 seconds. It's just...
Yeah, and that's the Historical Society here in Viroqua, just for those folks that might not be right here.
But there's other ones around, too. There's many other chimneys. I knew of one over in Stoddard, I want to say. I know Westby has some, and there's more than one here in Viroqua. So probably if you're in a small town here in southwest Wisconsin with the biggest chimney, there's a good chance that you'll... I know Richland Center has some. So they're around for sure.
And you say that those big chimneys are generally the communal roosting chimneys, not so much the nesting chimneys for individual pairs.
Yeah, if you see a chimney and you see one or two birds go into it, it's very likely a nesting chimney. And we, as I know we're going to talk about sort of the monitoring project we've been doing here in Viroqua, one of our volunteers, Bill Brook, went out and spent a good part of last summer really looking for nesting chimneys so we could try to find out where are they nesting and how many and things like that. So he looked kind of in the northeast quadrant of Viroqua, looked at 470 different buildings to see, did they have a chimney at all? You know, so sometimes you can go by, no chimney, so I'm done with that one. Of the 470 that did have chimneys, I want to say maybe 75 had chimneys that were big enough, they were uncapped, so they could have been used as a nesting chimney. And of those, his observations, he saw 26 of them being used, which is great.
So he's staking out these chimneys at dawn or dusk to see if anyone's coming in or out?
During the day. So if you watch during the day, if you go at the right time of the year when the young are in there, the adult birds will be coming back with food. And so that's what he's really looking for.
I see.
Yeah.
Wow, what a cool project.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're lucky to have such great volunteer involvement. Do you want to talk a little bit about how that volunteer effort in Viroqua got started?
Yeah, so even as I say, oh, go to the Historical Society and you'll be able to see the birds. There was one, and I can't remember, I think it was 2023. Me and a couple of friends went there to watch the chimney swifts, and watching, and no birds are around. And I hadn't seen that. Every other time I'd been there, which I don't know, maybe a dozen times, we'd always see hundreds of birds. And so for the middle of summer to go there and not see any, I was surprised for sure.
And concerning.
And a little bit concerned, like, gosh, what happened, you know? And so we were sitting there talking amongst ourselves, trying to hypothesize what it could be. And just as we're doing that, somebody walks by and sees us there and says, oh, by the way, I just saw a whole bunch of people like two blocks away at the greenhouses over there on Terhune. And there's like 20 people over there with chairs watching the birds use the chimney. And I said, wow, I didn't even know there was a chimney back in those greenhouses. And so we ran over there. And sure enough, there's 20 people out there with lawn chairs and hundreds of birds using that chimney on the greenhouses there, which was pretty cool to see also because it's a little shorter chimney, so you can get a little bit closer. And so we enjoyed the night, and we were relieved that there's birds there. And then we all said, well, I wonder if these are sort of our birds, you know, the ones that we watch at the Historical Society, or are these different birds entirely that they come here all the time? And so we put together this idea that the only way we would know for sure is if at the same time, on the same night, we were able to watch these two chimneys at the same time and see, were the birds moving back and forth? And we'd know if one chimney went down and one went up, oh, okay, it's the same group. And as we started doing that, then somebody said, oh, well, there's another chimney, you know, over on Tangled Hickory's building. And we said, well, I wonder if they're using that. And so we came up with, I want to say, five chimneys in town that we thought could have birds. And so we said, man, if we could get 10 people that would do it. And unbelievably, pretty easily, we were able to get 10 people that said, yeah, I'll come out and watch. So we set that up for 2024. And so we decided for that year, we were going to go twice a month on Monday nights, with that core group of 10 people, and look at the same these five chimneys at the same times, and try to see if we could see birds kind of migrating back and forth between the chimneys. We thought we had, you know, it's not that big of a town, and so we were all pretty confident that we had all the big chimneys identified. It turns out we didn't. We found three other ones, which was kind of fun, because people would hear what we were doing as a project, and you know, somebody would come by and say, hey, I was just over by Viroqua Tire, and I just saw 200 birds use a chimney there. And I would say, well, there's no chimney on Viroqua Tire. I've walked by there, you know, 500 times. And sure enough, the next night I went over to Viroqua Tire. Yep, there's a big chimney on it, and there's 200 birds using it. It was just crazy. So we added that one to the list. The county courthouse, the old jail, the annex, I guess now it's called, that one had one. So we ultimately got up to seven. I actually can't think of the seventh one just off the top of my head, but that was a really fun part of the project, was other people coming in and telling us of other chimneys that we didn't know about. So we did that for all of 2024, and we kind of said, yeah, it appears that early in the season, like when the spring migration is coming through town, and some of the birds are going to stay, but then a bunch of them are going to continue north and go all wherever, up into Canada or other places further north. There's definitely an affiliation or a desire to be in the Historical Society chimney. I mean, that was clear through the first half of the year, I would say, that's the chimney that they're generally using, these big groups.
Mm-hmm. Is that one of the biggest in town?
Yeah, I think so. We were able to find some records. It is a historical society. We were able to find records that even going back to the 70s, people would comment on birds using the chimney, which was interesting. So we know that they've been using it for 50 or 60 years, which is great, at least. The other thing, the other thing that's interesting is for heating chimneys, like the one on the Historical Society, it's a perfect synergy, because in the summer, they're not using it to generate heat. So it's not like there's a furnace below it blasting heat through there. So it's just an empty chimney that the birds can easily use. Then the birds leave, then they turn the heat on, and you get hot gases going through. So
yeah, I was going to ask, what happens if there's a cold day and someone lights their fire? The chimney swifts have to get out of there, huh?
That's a good question. I don't know. That's a good question. Or do they like the heat? I don't know if the fumes are good, but
Yeah.
So then kind of in the middle of the year, the count goes down a little bit at the big chimneys, the roosting chimneys, because the birds are starting to dispel out into their roosting chimneys, where they're going to, you know, get the 2 to 5 birds, and they're going to raise a small brood. So for probably 6 weeks in the middle of the summer, there'll still be hundreds of birds in the big chimneys, but maybe not the huge counts that we had in the spring, as all these birds are dispersed out, getting their young up to fledging. And then as soon as the nesting season, I would say, ends, right, and instead of just the 5 birds, now there might be 8 because they had 3 young that survived. And so then all of those birds, then they start to recongregate together in big roots, and that's when they really started moving around, which mirrored what we found in 2023 when we first saw the problem, or the issue, the topic, of where the birds were. So in that late summer period, I would say, that's when we really see all of a sudden a count will go down by 150 birds and another chimney will jump up by 200. And then that'll happen for a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden they'll abandon a chimney and go to another one. It's very interesting. So we saw that at A couple of the chimneys. The one at Viroqua Tire was one where for 2 weeks we would see, you know, 100 plus birds there, and then all of a sudden none. And the annex on the courthouse was another one where we actually had that on the list in 2024, and it looked to be used as a nesting chimney, just three or four or five birds each night. And then all of a sudden in 2025, one of the neighbors there said, "Man, I just saw 80 birds there," which we were surprised at. And they went out, they were curious too. And so they went out every night for 2 weeks, and it would be 75, 80 birds every night until it just went to zero. And they were done
and
with that chimney.
And that's when they've migrated?
That's when they were just moving to these other chimneys. And then as we get to fall, and it's either late September, early October, it kind of depends on the weather, then they'll start to migrate and leave. And when they do, it's usually pretty quickly, like 3 days, 4 days, and they're all gone.
Then gone.
Yeah. And there's maybe a straggler or something from the north still coming through, but the big numbers are, they're all headed back down to, you know, the Amazon for the winter.
Well, how cool that you got such great local involvement. How many folks do you think you had surveying on average?
Oh, on average, I would say we had like 10 people. But it increased, you know, like as people would identify chimneys, they would say, "Oh, I'll watch it," you know, and so then they would join the group. And
so people are kind of adopting chimneys in town to monitor.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah.
What a great example of citizen science and how that can contribute to our knowledge of a declining species. Yeah. So what kinds of important info can we find out from efforts like this?
For sure, being able to see that fidelity to a chimney or not was really, really important. And like you say, with citizen science, we're just volunteers. You know, we're not getting paid anything. So it's, I don't want to say there's no cost, but essentially no cost to go out and do something like this. If you were to do this as a student from UW or UW La Crosse or something like that, I mean, there'd be all sorts of costs associated with that, professors and driving. And I mean, it would have been a big effort. Whereas for us, getting 10 people that live locally to be able to go out and do this was pretty great, and cheap. And so there was a lot of information, at least to learn locally.
Mm-hmm. Do you share your numbers with any kind of a larger database?
Yeah, so we put all of our data into eBird, which is a Cornell Lab of Ornithology online digital database for bird monitoring. So all of our data is in there, and we put a special code with each of our each of our observations, and that code is something that the Wisconsin Chimney Swift Working Group, which was part of the Wisconsin Society of Ornithology, that group that helped paid for the chimney here, that's a subset group of volunteers that is just about trying to help chimney swifts. So going back to your original point about losing some habitat, clearly one of the problems that is going the wrong direction is this, and it's just going to keep happening, is the reduction in the number of chimneys available, whether that's big ones because a factory or a school or something is taking down a chimney, which I understand they're running a business or whatever it is, and so that's going to happen, or whether it's a house that now a roosting or a nesting chimney is no longer available, and for sure that's happening. Even in the just 2.5 years we've been watching, we know of at least 4 house chimneys that were used for nesting are gone now because they got new roofs and those chimneys got taken down. So the Chimney Swift Working Group is trying to do many different things, trying to encourage people to keep chimneys if they can. And also they're trying these artificial structures. You know, there was about 40 years ago, there was some Boy Scouts down in Texas who came up with those chimney fake, you know, they're artificial chimneys.
Artificial habitat structures. Yeah.
And you see them in parks sometimes. They're pretty small, you know, maybe a foot diameter or something. And those worked really good down in Texas, but and then many people built some. And it turns out that up north here, they just don't have the thermal protection that the birds are looking for. So they're not very successful. They can work, but not great.
Yeah.
There's a group in Canada working on this issue, and they've come up with a very nice, albeit expensive, artificial chimney that you can kind of put anywhere. And chimney swifts use it, which is great. So there is a solution. It is pretty expensive, and so the local group here in Wisconsin is trying to come up with, will that work here, and are there cheaper ways to do it? So trying to figure out ways to help with habitat, for sure.
Well, for folks here in our area that might be interested in getting involved, are you looking for volunteers? Are you continuing this effort?
You know, we've done it for 2.5 years, and I'm going to move on, and I'm going to still, you know, observe chimney swifts and everything, but not actually lead this particular effort. I think it'd be great if people can observe chimneys, and I'd be happy to take any observations people get and make sure it gets in the right database, because every little piece of data helps. Even if it's not coordinated, you know, with this multiple chimneys and multiple nights.
And people could maybe just log straight into eBird, too,
yes.
right, and enter their own data if they were interested in doing that.
For sure. One of the ways, you could certainly go to the Chimney Swift Working Group website. It's wiswifts.org. And I would recommend that. And they tell you how to put the code in so that then when their researchers are doing stuff on chimney swifts, they can pull out the data pretty easily. Mm-hmm. It is a great program, I got to say. And chimney swifts are a fascinating bird, and there's stuff we can do to help them, and we have a great population here. If you walk around downtown on any summer day, 90% of the time when you hear a bird, it's going to be a chimney swift.
Wow.
I mean, it's because we have a lot of them here, hundreds and hundreds for sure.
And what did you say? Each one eats something like 12,000
insects.
So that's really benefiting us to have them here.
Yes. If we didn't have all those birds eating all those mosquitoes in the middle of summer, we would have a lot more annoying little insects around, that's for sure.
Yeah, especially in recent years with fewer bats on the landscape. We need all the help we can get with insect control.
Yeah, so. And I think it's one of those things everybody can help with. If you have a chimney on your house, if you have an old silo, they use those for roosting. If you have a big building with a big chimney, they're probably in there roosting. So many, many people can help, and not even just taking observations, but helping with their habitat.
So if people think they might have a structure housing chimney swifts, they could keep an eye on it, especially at dawn and dusk, right, is when you might be more likely to see them come in and out?
Yes, that's where you see them come in and out, is around that time frame for sure. Yeah, and they don't hurt the chimney. You know, there's no worries about them getting the mortar out or having it fill up with their droppings or anything, because they've been 70 years at the Historical Society and it's not filling up. So.
Yeah, how cool. That would be a neat thing to find that you had on your land maybe if you didn't know you did.
Yeah.
So, well, thanks for all your efforts on this, Dave. What a cool project.
It's been a blast, and I got to say the people involved have been fantastic. And the interest and just people volunteering just to go watch birds. I'm an avid birder, so I get why I do it. But people who aren't just, you know, massively turned on by birds, they're still doing it, which I just think is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a great community we live in,
what
I got to say.
A neat local effort. Yeah. Well, thanks, Dave. Appreciate your time today.
Yeah, for sure.
It's
thanks for
to
having
talk
me.
With you. All right.